Yes, yes. Good morning to you, my dear listener. And you have now crossed to, you know, to the other side of the world. You have crossed to the Ondangwa studio. A very good morning to you. I'm in a very good mood today. So somehow, please, you know, let me stay. So, you know, please don't do what to my mood today. I'm not going to let anybody anyway spoil my mood today. Today I'm in very good mood. All right. So good morning. I hope you are too. Good morning to you. And how are you doing wherever you are in this very beautiful, beautiful land of the brave? Good morning and welcome to your favorite, your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Thanks for joining us this morning. Let's say thank you to David for the early morning scoop. And for always, you know, informing us, updating us as early as possible before we get into our etemo. So thank you, David, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is your daily dose of what's really going on in business, in economics, in politics, and everything in between. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, you know, the trends and the numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. Our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 8. And welcome if you're just joining us. So we come into you live, direct from the Ondangwa studio. So good morning and welcome. As usual, we start with our first segment, that looking at what happened on this day in Africa. So on the 25th of September, what happened in Africa? So on September 25th, 1964, the Mozambican War of Independence commenced as the Mozambican Liberation Front, that's FRELIMO, initiated an armed struggle against Portuguese colonial rule. So this conflict, which lasted until 1974, was part of a broader wave of African liberation movement seeking independence from the European powers. Now, 13 years later, on the 25th September in 1977, another kind of battle played out in Mozambique. Not the one of bombs and bullets, of course, but one of ballots. Now, this one is of ballots. Now, the country, having achieved independence in 1975, held its first general election on this date, 25th of September. So FRELIMO stood as the sole legal party, although there was no competing party. So these elections laid down early foundation in the architecture, if you like, of the post-colonial governance of Mozambique. Now, on the same day, 25th of September, 1977, in South Africa's Eastern Cape, a more solemn memory was made. Now, Steve Bantu Biko, leader of the Black Consciousness Movement and a symbol of resistance against the brutality of apartheid, was being buried. So more than 20,000 mourners gathered at King Williamstown's Victoria Stadium in a 5-hour funeral service. So the crowd contained those who had lost hope, but also those who still believe, those who have, you know, suffered, and those who felt that Biko's life cut short in a police custody just a week earlier. So, represented both tragedy and inspiration. So, in many ways, it was the first mass political funeral under apartheid. Not only an expression of grief, but a public denunciation of state of violence, state violence and racial inequality. So, basically, well, that's all what we have on this day in Africa. Some of the significant event that happened on this day in Africa. So, good morning. Thanks for joining us. So, today is Thursday, September the 25th. So, what is our thought for the day? What is our thought for the day? Jealousy starts from the eyes. What? Jealousy starts from the eyes. Well, it's true though. So the proverb means that envy often begins with what we see. So envy begins with what we see. When we look at what others have, such as their success, possessions, beauty, or achievement, so we may start to feel jealousy. So that's why it starts with, jealousy starts from their eyes. So now the proverb highlights how jealousy can be triggered by visual comparisons. And it's a warning that this feeling can grow into a destructive force if not controlled. All right? So it cautions that jealousy can harm both now the person feeling it and others around them as well. So the proverb encourages focusing on one's own strength and blessings. So instead of fixating on others' advantages, using their success as inspiration rather than a source of envy. So jealousy starts from the eyes. I hope this thought of the day would help in the decision and the choices you make throughout the day today, and that you focus on your strength and blessing instead of fixating on others' advantages. So, that's our thought for the day. Jealousy starts from the eyes. Welcome. Our time is about 9 minutes past the hour of 8. The weather is changing. I hope it does change in your area as well. We had a little bit of, I don't know, when was it? 2 days ago, we had some rain in my town. So we have some rain. It's starting to look a bit different. Hopefully it comes as soon as possible. Should be starting raining already. So hopefully it's come the soonest, because, seriously, we need it. We need it. Even if we had a good rain last year, so I think we still need it. The soil was dry. That's why there's no water to be found anywhere anymore. So, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Our time is about 10 minutes past the hour of 8. And we go until, so I'm here. I'm with you until the hour of 10 o'clock when I will be handing over or going back again to Windhoek, to Mr. France with Kutha Mosha. So, welcome. And what can you expect in today's show? What can you expect in today's show? So, now, think about this. How does the government decide which town gets get a new road, which region gets money for a sewer system? Which village get an essential clinic? So is it based on a population? Is it based on a need? Or is it something else entirely? Well, that is what we're going to look at. And that's as a story that was in yesterday's edition of The Villager. So we're going to unpack that. So, and also, the front line, the front page headline from yesterday's the villager that farmers welcome processing centers in all regions. So this was the President Etumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah has announced a plan to build these centers across all 14 regions. So we're going to hear what are the farmers saying, you know? So what are the concerns in terms of this? So that's we're going to unpack as well. And if we still have time, we're going to look at Namibia to fix investment law to attract investors. Something I should have covered yesterday, but we didn't have time. So, but if we do, we will do that. But another thing is also, we by 9 o'clock and we will check out. So we could have also a guest, depending where they are, if they are accessible. We're looking at, you know, the United Nations. So in terms of, are they still relevant as a continental body? And what are the challenges that this body is facing currently? And does it need a reform? So that's what we're going to look at. But at that, I cannot 100% guarantee, but we will try to see if we can get our guest on the show. All right. So those are things that you can expect. And so we will be back. Stay tuned. As you can see, fully packed.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and good morning. If you're just joining us, good morning, Namibia, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. I'm your host, Michael Chiavelli. This morning, we are asking a question that affects every single one of us, whether you are in Windhoek, whether you are in Rundu, in Ludris, or in Katima Mulilo, or in Opua, for that matter. All right. So now the question is, how does the government decide which town to get, as I said earlier, maybe to get a new road, which region gets the money for a sewer system, for example, which village gets an essential clinic? So, and Is it based on the population? Is it based on a need? Or is it something else completely? Now, well, a recent discussion in a parliament has given us a very surprising answer. So it turns out there is no set of formula. There is no a formula, all right, how this money is allocated. Let me say that again. Now, there is no fixed structure system for allocating money for the capital project, those big important infrastructure projects, to our regions or to our towns. Nada. Nothing. No fixed structure system. Now, the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, which hold, this is now the ministry that hold the, you know, the purse strings. They are the one who say, okay, this is all poor. All right, we're going to give you this much. Well, you know, Kochas. Kochas, no. We, you're not gonna get anything this. Chibion, all right. You're gonna get about, you see? So this is now, just painting the picture. All right. So now the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development is the one that actually hold the purse strings for this project and recently explained its approach. The minister explained the approach. The official line is that funds, and I tell you the official line, that funds are allocated based on a list of priorities. On a list of priorities. So this is a story by Nino Minmavali in yesterday's edition of The Villagers. So please make sure that you subscribe for The Villagers, or what you need to do is to, you know, send your WhatsApp message with your name and your email at 081-244-4144. So 081-244-4144. So then then you will be subscribed to the village to receive the digital copy of the village newspaper that comes every Monday, Tuesday, that comes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you subscribe today. Tomorrow you get your copy of your Friday copy of The Villagers. So the story is in our yesterday's edition. So the Prime Minister, the official line, as I said, so from the Minister, is that the funds are allocated based on a list of priorities. And I want you to open your ear now so that you know, how does the money allocated to your town, you know? And then when your town is actually is not being able to do what it's supposed to do, then you know where are the problems, okay? So what are these priorities? Let's break them down simply. I'm going to put them in a simple way. Now, first, if a project is already, now this is one, these are the priorities now. So first, if a project is already underway and need more money to be completed, it get priority. So, and that makes sense. Actually, that makes sense. You want to finish what you have started. That makes sense. So, secondly, you know, or second, if there is a critical life-threatening emergency, so that's another priority. So if there is a critical life-threatening emergency, well, think of a bridge washing away in a flood, or washed away in a flood, or a major water pipe busting. That get top priority. Well, again, that seems logical. Of course, that also seems very logical. Nobody can argue against that. And third, money is given for preventative maintenance. You know, it's given for preventative maintenance. And this means fixing things before they break completely, like water pumps or treatment plants. So now, those are the criterias that, you know, that how the money are the priorities, not the criteria. These are the priorities, how the money is allocated, the capital, how the funds are allocated in your town for the capital project. So, one, first, if the project is already underway and need more money to be completed. Secondly, if there is a critical life-threatening emergency, I'll give an example of a washed away bridge in a flood, or maybe the water pipe bust. So that's another one. And another priority is that money is given for preventative, you know, maintenance, you know, like maybe fixing things before they completely, you know, destroyed or damaged. Okay. Now, on a surface, this might sound practical, all right? But we are going to unpack what this no formula approach really means to you What does it mean for you, for your community, and for the balanced development of our nations? So, is this a flexible, responsive system, or is it a recipe for confusion? Inequality, think about that, and maybe even political favoritisms. All right? Well, stick with us so we dig a little bit deep when we come back.
Omutiha with the Kirokabuna, E. Matina, Omjo. She calls a fat and anana, long as she fat, yeah, she became Tengo ko tisamweni. Anageshifa ya Namibia. Ombitombo na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma ye. Yongeshifa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeneha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashifareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo lengira selma. Kwa darahe tatuimu. Tatunda tu heari hamano tano. Owambiyaj. Eagle FM. So hai.
No match. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. If you're just joining us, good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM. And you are tuned in Unpacking the Day. We are talking about the government's approach to funding regional projects. An approach without a clear formula, based instead on priorities. Now, let's be fair, okay? We're going to be fair. Let's be fair and look at this from all angles. We're going to look at this from all angles, okay? What could be the argument for this kind of a system? So, now, so looking at the details of the articles, what could be the argument for this kind of a system? The argument for. Now, the main advantage is flexibility. All right? Now, if you have a rigid formula, say one based on only on population, for example, okay? If you have this rigid formula based only on population, that might not be able to respond to a sudden crisis. If there's a sudden crisis, then you'll not be able to respond to that because if you have this rigid formula. Now, imagine a severe drought hit the Kunene region, harder than anywhere else, all right? A flexible priority-based system allows the ministry now to redirect funds immediately to drill emergency borehole, maybe, without being tied up in a red tape. So it allows for quick decision in a crisis. So we're looking at argument for, you understand? So that you can see that when there is that flexibility, it can be able to attend to, to emergency, when things happen. So that's the advantage of being flexible. All right. I think I see that's flexibility. But what are the downsides? Okay, and I think this is where it gets a little bit complicated. Now, so without a clear, transparent formula, how these priorities actually decided, how do you decide these priorities? The system opened a door to potential bias. All right? It's also opened that door to a potential bias. Now, it raises the question, whose priority is it? Yeah. Whose priority is it? Is it a project? Is a project in one region considered more critical? Let's say, for example, in inverted comma, would you consider more critical than a similar project in another region because the region has more maybe? Just a maybe. Maybe it has more political influence. Now, let's use a simple scenario, okay? Just for you to understand what I'm trying to communicate here now. Let's use this simple scenario. Imagine two informal settlements, one in Oshakati and one in Ngobabis. Okay? One in Oshakati and one in Ngobabis. both urgently need proper sanitation to prevent disease like hepatitis E. Now, both are critical. Okay, put that inverted comma. Both are critical. Now, with a limited budget and no clear formula, think. So, with a limited budget and no clear formula, who decides which one gets the funding first? Now, the decision-making process becomes concealed because you never know how that actually had been decided, and people will naturally worry. And that is not always fair. Things that, well, you understand. So that's what I want you to think, you know, in terms of when you don't have a clear formula. Now, this system can also create a circle of inequality. Now, the ministry says ongoing projects are a priority. Now, that's what the ministry says. The ministry says ongoing projects are a priority. Now, but what does this mean in practice? When you think in terms of in practice, what does that mean? Now, it could mean that, larger, more established town, which already have big project running, will continue to receive the lion's share of the budget year after year because they have projects that are running. It could mean that. And meanwhile, the smaller developing community that have never had a major project might never get to the top of that priority list. So they are always waiting for their turn, which may never come. Well, and you can tell from our small villages and, you know, the villages and the small towns. So that could be an issue as well. When you follow that kind of line of approach. Now, the lack of, I think there was a section on Early Mornings Scoop. One lady, I can't remember what was she talking about, but she talked about predictability. Eh? Predictable. So the lack of predictable funding stream now also make a long-term planning almost impossible for our regional and local leaders. It make it impossible because the thing is that how can a town council plan a 5-year development strategy when they have no idea how much money, if any, they can get, they can expect from the central government next year. It based on priorities. You as a leader, as a regional leader, you really have no idea whether you're going to get funds or not. It depends on the priorities from the central, you know, from the ministry. So that's why I said that lack of predictable funding, you know, that lack of predictable funding stream make it difficult for a long-term planning for regional and local leaders. So now it forces them. Now you can see that it forces them into a reactive mode, always fighting fires instead of actually, you know, and I don't mean fire. So always fighting, you know, cases, you know, of rather than actually building a stronger house for the future or foundation for the future. So while the system offers a flexibility, which is actually good, it comes at a higher cost, a lack of transparency, a risk of inequality, and a barrier to effective long-term planning. So, because, you know, how do you decide? When I said the lack of trust, how do you decide it? As I've given an example of Shakati and Gobabis. So how do you decide it, which one becomes the priority? Based on what? So if there's no a system, if there's no a clear formula. So a risk of inequality, when we're talking about based on ongoing projects that are on, in some smaller town, there will be never, you know. There's nothing that is going on. And then you risk them left behind. You only develop this bigger town, and the smaller town actually stay undeveloped. So, and a barrier now to effective long-term planning, as I said, without really knowing your budget, without knowing, you know, what would be prioritized, you actually just sit waiting. You can, and you cannot be able to plan a long, you cannot be able to have a long-term planning. So, now, the story doesn't end there, okay? The story, it doesn't end there. The Ministry of Urban and Rural Development didn't just explain its system. It also pointed a finger back at the regional councils themselves. So, according to the ministry, sometimes the problem is not just the allocation of money from Windhoek, you know, from the ministry, but how that money is used at the local level. That's also the issue. The ministry says, it's not just, you know, the problem is not just allocation of money, but also how that money is used at the local level. So now the ministry have observed that some regional councils are slowed down by internal disagreement. There are those disagreements. Now, think about this or picture this. A council gets a sum of money, but the councillors can't agree on one big impactful project. They get the money, but when they meet now, you know, they cannot agree. The councillors can't agree on one big impactful project. And we have seen this. We have seen it in Windhoek. We have seen it in Swakopmund, you know, because of councillors, you know, are coming from different parties, different political parties, you know. So they end up splitting. This is what the ministry is saying. They end up splitting the money in two tiny bits for many small projects. Now, a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit here, you know. And the result, as the ministry put it, these mingle trenches. Quoting, mingle trenches. And those mingled trenches, according to the ministry, don't achieve anything significant. Probably a new water pipe becomes now just a few hundred meters of a pipe lying in the sun. You know, the next thing you see, that pipe actually is lying in the sun there. So it hasn't finished. We have seen that, you know, year after year, we're kind of like, what were they thinking? Was it just meant that it comes up to here and there's... Now, so this is a serious point. It is a serious point. It suggests a breakdown in the leadership and vision at the local level. So that also really suggests that there's a breakdown in the leadership and vision at the local level. Now, but here's another angle to consider. This is another angle I want you to consider. Is it possible that this internal conflict now on a local level now among the councillors is a symptom of the unpredictable funding system itself? That could be also a symptom of an unpredictable funding system itself. Now, if you know now, if you know you might not get any money next year, all right? If you know that, okay, we're talking about now, when you talk about that, you know, they don't agree, and normally what do they do? Just a little bit smaller project here, smaller project. Now, if you know that you might not get any money next year, the pressure to please every part of your constituency this year become eminent, become immense. Now, this can lead now to these compromises that help no one in the long run. Because now, remember that these are people coming from different constituencies. Now, the money goes now, everyone, because you don't know whether there will be money coming next year. So what do? You want to show that you are actually doing something in your constituency. So that's why the money now become divided in little little insignificant kind of project that don't really make any difference. So, and as I said, and that could come as, think about it, it could be a symptom of unpredictable funding system itself. So, now, and another important detail about how the money moves. There's also another important detail how the money moves. The ministry, it doesn't just hand over a check. It doesn't just, hey, here is the check, go and do. Well, make sure that make sure that you take care of that. So, no, it doesn't. It doesn't just hand over the check. It pays contractor directly after they submit invoices for work that has been verified also. So, which is on one hand, this is great for accountability, isn't it? So, on one hand, this is really great for accountability. It prevents, those ghost projects? Sometimes those ghost projects we have in our towns. And it assures also that money is spent on actual work. Okay? So you have done the work is verified, and boom, here is your check. All right? So we're trying to avoid. I think it's great for accountability as well. So it's, and also avoiding those ghost projects. Yeah, those just created. And we have seen in the auditor's report, money just, there are no invoices or supporting document for a work done. Those are ghost projects. Yeah? And it happened almost in every town council. Yeah? So, now, but also, the in terms of that, when I'm talking about that, in terms of the money moves now also, let's always look on both sides. Let's also think about the real situation. And I have experienced this. So this process can be very slow. Now the ministry is the one that actually does the payment, that pays the contract directly. This process can be very, 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 very slow. A small local contractor in a rural area might complete a job, but then have to wait months for their invoice to be processed and paid. So you have to remember that they don't have the cash flow. This small, the local contractors in a rural area, they don't have cash flow to survive that wait, waiting for months. And this can lead to delays. And then this is actually sometimes the problems where we have now, the projects are abandoned. And you can also have to think that this is how now the system can favor large established companies that can afford to wait for payment. You see the implications there. So those are some of the issues or the concern. So the ministry also made a powerful statement, promising to ensure that regional council no longer accumulate saving in their bank account while people are living in poverty. So they are accumulating, saving, and people are swimming in poverty. So they are even exploring recalling unspent funds. So the ministry is actually exploring that, the aspect of recalling unspent funds. So this is a strong message, I think. This is a strong message against inefficiency. It's a strong message against inefficiency. So, but again, we must ask why the councils might be sitting on the money. Why are they sitting on the money? Is it pure inefficiency? Or is it a symptom of a system so complex and unpredictable, as I said earlier, that they are afraid even to commit the funds? that could be. Think about it. Think. Think, my friend. So that could be. So it seems the challenge is two-way street, okay? It's a two-way street, a central system that lacks transparency and a local implementation that sometimes lacks efficiency and unit, because you may have squabbles within the council itself, you know, and that could prevent, you know, development or implementation of programs. So that also to say, yeah, those who are given money, those we prioritize, sometimes they have also problems. They are not united. So, and that becomes the problem. Now, so we have unpacked the problems and no formula system for development funding that risk being unfair and implementation challenges at the regional level. Now, where do we go from here? So this is not just a debate for politicians in parliament. It is not just because this is affect you directly. It affects all of us. Now, perhaps the solution is not a choice between 100% rigid formula and 100% flexibility. Maybe we need a hybrid model, you know? So maybe a system where, say, 70% of the development budget is allocated based on a clear public formula, okay? 70%. This formula could consider factors like population size, poverty levels, because that's a big, big issue, poverty levels as well, and the state of existing infrastructure, also looking at the existing infrastructure, and the most important aspect, unemployment rates. So I'm just thinking on top of my head what could be, you know, some when you're allocating now the development budget, you know, maybe you must have some clear public formula, because that's how you can be able to help other small towns that may not fit into the priorities that we talked earlier. Clear public formula may be best. As these are factors that I'm thinking: population size, poverty levels, what else did I say? The state of existing infrastructures, and maybe they are dilapidated buildings or whatever, so, and you need to upgrade them and things like that, and unemployment rates. So this would ensure then a fair baseline of funding, you know, for every region, allowing them to plan properly. That would also allow them to plan properly. Now, then the remaining 30% could be then be kept in a flexible, how do you call that, priority fund. All right? So we talk about that when we come back.
The perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Welcome back. So, as I said, the remaining 30% could be then kept in a flexible priority fund. Now, the other 70% is a formula that it's a system that it's a clear public formula. We know what to expect. You know, we know the formula that is being used to get our developing budget. So then, there's 30%, as I said, then, because you need that flexibility. I said, I would prefer a hybrid model, you know? So then the remaining 30 could be kept in a flexible priority fund for genuine emergency and strategic national project as well. So this would combine now fairness and predictability with the ability to respond to crisis, that you can still, from the ministry side, from the central government side, can be still be able to respond to crisis. So, and most importantly, we need transparency. So the criteria for deciding which emergency, for example, or priority get funded first must be made public. Those must be made public, because that's where you now, you have people say, well, if the example I've given here between Gobabis and Oshakati would say, well, it's political because Oshakati is it has a political influence. So that's where now allegation like made like that, because when these are not, you know, made public, when there's no transparency. So Namibian citizens have a right to know how and why these decisions are made. So, and this brings me now to you, our listeners. Okay? What do you see in your own community? What do you see in your own community? So is there an important project in your town that has been stalled for years? In my town, there are. So has been then those important projects that, you know, are just not being completed. So now thinking, I'm asking this question based on what we have discussed so far, on what we looked at. So do you feel your region is actually being left behind? Maybe it's not falling in what is being prioritized. You remember those three things that we looked at the beginning, you know? Maybe it doesn't fall in those priority. That's why it's left behind. Would that be fair, actually? Now, do you believe a flexible, you know, priority-based system is better? Or do you want a clear formula so everyone knows where they stand? So this conversation is crucial for holding our leaders accountable, both at national and also regional level. So your voice matters. You are most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 08-33-66-091, 08-33-66-091. So is there an important project in your town that has been stalled for years? You know, and I'm asking this question based on what we have discussed so far. Or do you feel your region is being left behind? And, you know, maybe it doesn't fall in those priority we talked about. So do you believe a flexible priority-based system is better? Or do you want a clear formula so everyone knows where they stand? 08-333-66-091 is the number you can call. So to get, you know, to have your contribution. So 08-08-333-66-091. We are in the Ondango studio.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna e Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafasa Nana Longishifa ya Shuike Moshiwana. Iye moyawo otaingongota samweni. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seithane na omayaguro ni randitomwa iwe yongeshifa yoyo kupikiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe 20 pino neha uyu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo iyo moe programa letu. Moambo lengira selma kwa baraje tatuimu. Datunda tu heari hamanotano kwa liyaj. Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. And yeah, I'm waiting on your contributions. Let's summarize the key takeaways from what we were just discussing. Now, first, from the article, and I encourage you to go and read the articles as well. So the allocation of government money for major regional project is not based on a set formula, according to the article, but on a system of priorities. So this was a significant revelation from the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development. So, secondly, the system has pros and cons. So it offers a flexibility. I think it offers flexibility to respond to emergency, but it critically lacks transparency and carries a higher risk of creating inequality between regions and hindering also long-term planning. I think that's the cons of the system. Now, and thirdly, the problem is it's complex. I think with shared responsibility. All right? So while the central system is under scrutiny, challenges with projects implementation, internal disagreement, and efficiency at the regional council level are also part of the picture. So as well as it's complex. It's not just, you know, on the central government, but you have also issues of project implementation, internal disagreement among the councillors, and efficiency at the regional council level. So as a part of the broader picture as well. Now, and finally, most importantly, this is not just a technical administrative issue. It's about the fundamental promise of fair and balanced development for all Namibians, no matter where we live, no matter where you are, no matter where they are, where they live. So it doesn't matter where you are. So this is a balanced development. That's what we're looking for all Namibians. So the road you drive on, the reliability of water supply, the future opportunities for your children are all depend on a system that is fair, it's transparent, and that is effective. So let's continue the debate in our homes, in our communities, with our elected leaders, here on these platforms. So you can come through our telephone number again, 08-333-66-091.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She calls a fat and anana, long as she fat, yes, you can what she wanna. E. Moyawa, or Tango got some money. And as she fat, Yanamibia, on the Tom Banawa, Omjika. Saithanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, long as she fire up the Gramo, Eagle FM Media House. We 20 men in her Uka Kombanga Nina. Para un paso para aquí, huimos por yo me programa de tu Moambo, donde la selma, con la gente estuvimos. La tienda tu, Jerry Jamanotano, o a Diage. Y que lo hacemos,
no matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Well, our time is 55 minutes past the hour of 8, 5 minutes to 9. And if you're just joining us, welcome, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. And today we were looking at the way how the government, you know, decide which town, which region, you know, how does the government actually allocate funds for capital project in your town, in your region. So, and well, as I said, we With the recent discussion in the parliament, so it turns out there's no formula. There's not a set of formula. Okay? So, let's get to the caller. A very good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Uncle Buna. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
Good. So, for me, I really did not listen to you this morning.
Yeah.
But I got a little direction.
Yeah.
When you were talking about what do we see, the kind of potential that we can perhaps see or identify within our community.
Yeah.
And maybe we're also referring to projects that maybe got stagnated.
Yeah, exactly. So it's based, as you said, you didn't listen from the beginning. It's actually based on the Minister of, I think the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, they were asked a question in a parliament in terms of how do they decide in allocating, funds to the regions or to the town councils and things like that. And they said, well, there are no really a fixed formula, but there are priorities. These are priorities. The project is already, there must be already underway. There must be a project already underway and need more money to be completed. So, and the other one, the second one is that there is a critical life-threatening emergency. Maybe think of a bridge washed away by flood. And that get to be a top priority. And that's one thing that guides their allocation. And the third one is that money is given for preventative maintenance. So like fixing things before they completely get damaged or, yeah. So those are some. And I went into analyzing some of those. So, and my question now was, do you feel that your town, because of some of these priorities, your town feel behind because it doesn't fall in this kind of priorities? And what should be done? Should we see a formula that is kind of standard and everybody knows this is what is expected? I think that's what we talked about, yeah.
Thank you very much for highlighting that to me.
Yeah.
I know very well that every town or constituency or whatever the region might have their own peculiarity.
Yeah.
Their needs might be different. But obviously, it is the priority of the government.
Yeah.
Based on your plan, maybe in that community. Mm. So I don't think there's any harm because every region.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any region in which it does not need food, or doesn't need to make money, create money, or create employment.
Yeah.
Because the rate of employment is a cross-cutting issue, which should be addressed by all line ministry or everybody, even from our individual level.
Yeah.
So I think the peculiarity or the difference in needs of those regions, like the area that you mention as priorities.
Yeah.
And I know every region has got the need. There are those who do not even have roads.
Yeah, exactly.
Interconnection, internet.
Yeah.
People are now talking about online learning. And when the Menotumbo is saying the free education, the free education doesn't mean that all the people will be populated at the mass, or IUM, or UNAM, but people have to resort to online learning.
Yeah.
Is there a village there that is completely covered in terms of technological devices?
Yeah.
Or these digital devices?
So, what do you think about what the minister also said, that sometimes the problem is not the allocation of money from the central government, but on how the money actually is being used at the local level? And you make a reference that what the ministry have observed is that the regional council, they are slowed down in implementing projects because of internal disagreement. Sometimes you have now you have it in Windhoek, you have in Swakopmund also, where you have actually councillors from different political parties. And because of those disagreements, you know, that hampers now the implementation of impactful project.
That's obvious. There was a time I was listening, and Dwight 2 days ago was talking about this tractor.
Yeah.
And I explained to us that, yes, there are those who may be very directly hinder the progress.
Yeah.
Because of their political differences and things like that. Mm. And if we allow those ones to hinder the service delivery to the people, because our service should not be, you know, discrimination or whatever, that kind of thing. And I really don't want to get into. But the internal issues, squabbling and all these things, we have been seeing them in the local authority.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's the organization that's composed for that to facilitate development and programs with this local authority. That's why sometimes they have to be fired.
Yeah.
Sometimes exactly. The ministers suspend them, and they fight this other one and this one. There's a lot of confusions there. And I think the inspiration is clear when it comes to the rules and the regulations and all these things. So it's true that the implementation, I think that the Shampasa is really doing a good job there.
Yeah.
So it's also cleaning up. But what in my conclusion is that there's no region which does not, which doesn't have an element in terms of addressing the social, economic, or political development that does not fall in this priority. Of course, there are the region themselves that can say, yes, because we are situated at the close to the river or whatever. And then there's this kind of maybe those natural resources that you are engaged by God. So you can then say, yes, this is our need, because we have got more youth here.
Yeah.
What can they do? Are they going to make bricks? And when people are now creating houses, I mean, building houses, we are there now to put solar panel installation.
Yeah.
Those ones, even if we cannot create this one, that those ones we can install. Can we all identify all those young ones in our villages there, those who went to VTC, those who went to academia, those who are in academia and things like that, and now say, have they made some attempts to apply for the, what, this new scheme loan that they're talking about?
Yeah.
So I think that's the work also for the councillor and the villager, Edmund, all these people who are deciding those vicinities.
All right.
Thank you very much, man.
Thank you for coming through.
Good morning.
All right. Very good morning to you. Our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of 9, and you are most welcome to come through and, have your say and have your comment. What do you think? This impact, the development in your town, you know, in your village. So my question is, is there any important project in your town that has been stalled for years? And it because maybe it doesn't fall in those priorities. Or do you, and how, what do you think? Do you feel your region is behind, it's being left behind? And what do you want? So do you believe a flexible priority-based system is better, or do you want a clear formula so everyone knows where they stand? So, give me a call, 08-33-66-091. Igor, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
No, I'm fine. How are you this morning?
Well, for some reasons, I woke up in a very good mood.
Yeah, it's because the rain is almost...
Yeah, no, I feel my little goats at least, my goat survives at least, but the kettles are, you know, we need it to come now, the soon the putter.
Oh yeah, that is, that's life. Yeah, come back to your questions.
Yeah.
You ask about the projects in the region that has been there for some time, and they are not yet completed. For me, I'll start, maybe I need clarity.
Yeah.
when the project was designed, how long was it supposed to take?
Yeah.
That's the first question, okay? And was the money allocated to the tender or to that company? Was it enough to finish that project?
Mm.
So if you are saying the project was designed to take 3 years, and after 5 years it's not yet done, yes, there are situations that can affect the completion of a project that sometimes can be, one can understand. Something happened, we take an example of when we had the issue of Corona. You know, when Corona came in, things is no more as usual, things changed. But the, most of the projects we have in Namibia, it seems like the contractors, they are the reason why the project did not finish on time, or it seems like government sometimes issue a tender why they don't have enough money.
Yeah. The other thing is the process. As I said, okay. Also sometimes the government directly pay the contractors rather than actually the regions, the regional council. So, and that sometimes takes months. And if it's given to a local contractors that don't have a cash flow, that's how sometimes they abandoned, the project because they can't go on without, you know, this money being paid. So because at one point, at a certain stage, they would ask for a certain amount of money. And then that money takes about not even 3 weeks or something, takes about a month before it comes. And you can't continue without paying your employees. You understand?
No. Okay. Now, the contractors and the ministry, these two individuals are supposed to have that section in their structure of monitoring and evaluation.
Yeah.
These are people that see to it that whatever that is done on the ground is what is proposed to be done.
Mm.
At this stage, this is the amount that was supposed to be released. At this another stage, this is the amount that was supposed to be released. So now, one asks, why should government take time to pay while they knew very well that at this stage of the project, this is a certain amount that was supposed to be released?
Red tape. You know, people who are supposed to be approved, they are now in New York with the president on the UN General Assembly. So they will only come after 2 weeks, you know, and then when they come back, you know, there's always this. It's frustrating actually doing a project for the government. Believe me.
Let us blame ourselves.
Yeah.
Because if we develop a system whereby we say government are supposed to pay at this stage, if they don't pay at this stage, these are the penalties.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we cannot, you know, contractors, if they fail, they are subject to penalties.
Yeah.
But when government fail to do their part, they are not subject to any penalties.
Yeah, you're right.
Why do we have a system like that?
Yeah, you're right. So that's actually what happens. Yeah.
Yes, we must have a system where it punishes both sides. If government is supposed to pay at this stage and they don't pay, then they must incur some cost or some serious penalty, so that tomorrow they will make sure that they will not repeat it again.
Yeah, but the government always have clear rules and policies. They always have. It's the people that enforce that are the problems. Yeah.
When you say the government has a clear, what do you mean? Are you saying that government is different from the people that are enforcing those things?
Well, in terms of course, that's a good debate. So in terms of to say there are rules, there are laws that govern any, even when we come down talking about, tendering and things like that. And in the local,
setting. But, you know, the people that are enforcing that rules and laws and policies are the problems, you know?
Then those are the people that must be punished.
Yeah, that we're talking about the oversight, Yana. The oversight is also very weak.
Yeah, the person who is supposed responsible to do that and he fails, then he must be punished.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes. How can you keep someone in the position whereby his track record of paying contractors late is there? He has that track record and you still have the same person there.
But think of the ED that has been just, you know, moved from one... Some have failed terribly, you know. They have failed in this ministry, and now they move to another ministry. It's exactly you rewarding failure. Eh? Instead of some of this let them go, you know. They are moved from one place to another, from one ministry to another. Eh?
It is us. When we say us now, we say us as a nation to be brave, but also the system that we are using that seems like... The person that's supposed to, we don't have direct control of this ED and all the others. Maybe the ED, they report to the minister, maybe the minister is supposed to be the one. But at the end of the day, whoever that does not do his job is supposed to be punished.
Exactly.
And if we don't come to that stage, we are going to have situation whereby, in fact, where there are stories of a contractor who has given a job.
Yeah.
He has not finished the job. But he got paid all the money.
Yeah.
Okay, you have a situation. So now this person has not finished the job, but he's paid all the money.
Mm.
And then you ask yourself, who is to be brave? Is it the contractor or the person who is responsible for payment?
Yeah, and the contract had disappeared.
Yeah.
Without completing the job. Yeah.
Yeah, if you give me the money. So the temptation is very higher for, especially when I know there are no punishment that follows.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, the temptation is very high. And then on the other issue, when we talk about the priorities on the region, when the allocation of capital funds now, and they gave you in the article that you read, they gave three reasons.
Yeah.
When there are projects that has been there, and then I think the second one, they allocate capital according to critical, life-threatening. Maybe it's time for us to, instead of, we should have, but I don't know if this is what is happening now. We have each region get their capital project. Is that what we are saying? And then the region now prioritize among the region on which project are they going to fund. How does it work?
It's actually the central government that prioritizes which project that's going to be funded.
So it's not the region that said that, then we have a problem.
Because I thought you were saying
Commerce got 20 million, the other one got 20 million, then each region has their own capital project funds. And then the each region now look at which one is a priority or a critical one.
Yeah.
I think because if the central bank decides Oshikoto have a critical whatever project that needs to be done,
which means that in Hibion, if there's nothing going on, they don't get money. You understand?
So just imagine this year Oshikoto has a similar critical issue. Next year critical issue. The other year critical issues.
Exactly.
That is what it means, that all the funds will go to Oshikoto.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And the other region will be. No, something is not right.
Yeah. So that based on those based on those of those priorities, as exactly you said, something is not right. So
no.
It's better having some kind of formula that you use, a public formula that you use, that everybody knows what to expect. You know?
Yes. Let each region have their capital budget and let each region prioritize.
Yeah.
Look at which, so that at least the resources are equally distributed.
Mm.
Okay, man.
No, thank you, man, for coming through.
Okay.
Great. A very good morning to you. Our time is about 15 minutes past the hour of 9. You are welcome to come through and have your say, have your comment. Yeah, so we're looking at how does the government
allocate funds, capital fund, I mean, for capital project in your town and in your regions. So, and there are priorities that this, the government followed, the Ministry of Urban Rural Development, have highlighted, you know. So one, if the project is already underway and need more money to be completed, and as I said, well, that gets a priority. So, and that, as I said, that makes sense, because you want to finish what you started. But, you know, when would be the, if that's a criteria, if that's a priority, so when would you start funding where the project hasn't started yet? You know, in Kochas, in Gibeon, in Witvlei. So, and second, if there is a critical life threatening emergency, think of a flood or a water pipe bursting or something, that's get a top priority again. Again, it's logical, yeah, but you know, there should be, as I talked about, that there should, let's take a maybe hybrid model where 70% is on things that we know and public formula that indicate based on these factors, we know that. And then the 30% would then address the emergency, the flexibility priority, flexible priority. So where now you can focus on things like that, that these funds now can go to this town because there is this emergency or there is this, you know, preventative maintenance that we need to attend to or something like that. So, yeah, what do you think? And this definitely, as I said, this is not just a discussion for the parliament. It's also your discussion. It's something that you should be discussing as well. And maybe that's why your town is behind in terms of development. So, and you're not speaking. Eh? 08-333-6091. 08-333-6099. It's a number you can call and have your opinion. So, all right. When we come back, you're most welcome to come through anytime on this item. But when we come back, we go to probably our second item.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083.
Yes, morning, Dad Mike. Hello, morning, Mike.
Oh, sorry, I'm the one who was not on air. Sorry. Good morning. I was not on air.
Yeah, Mike, I'm even wondering what's going on.
Oh, my good Lord. So, yeah, no, I was the one who was not on air.
Yeah, because I was just quiet. I was like,
And I was, keep saying, hey, we can't hear you, but the people can't hear me.
Almost I hang up even.
Oh, no. Yeah, welcome, man. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm like, Mike, you know, the problem is, I think now we are facing.
Yeah.
Is that we have a disconnection between the ministry and the regional. When it comes to regional government. Because you cannot tell me all the capital projects have to be funded by minister himself.
Yeah.
This is about to be what a local government is doing that. Because they know which one is a priority to them. Yeah. Let me say now, like, I can give you an example, like, you know, Angwena now. Angwena, you see that we're having a problem when it comes to water in the electricity.
Yeah.
So even network coverage. But mostly you find it is like they're finding, like, maybe they'll come up like in housing.
Yeah, because that might not be a priority from the central government.
For now. Yeah, it's not a priority for now.
Yeah.
Now they're finding housing, like in Enana or Congo, because now they've become thousands. Elana Fidi. Yeah. Now, and then you look at the situation now, like where the people are drinking unsafe water. Which one is about to be a priority first?
Yeah.
It's to channel the water or to building housing where the people are, some people are dying because of what?
Both are priorities, but maybe which is the priority to the community? Which one is the biggest priority to the community? Yeah.
Yeah, which one is come first?
Yeah.
Yeah. From my view is that I think what they're supposed to do, just like the way they're allocating the national budget when they're giving the governor's budget. I think they also need to include in the capital project.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if they find this stay within the minister, no, that's why we are getting it wrong. That's why we are complaining every day. That no, like now we are complaining like in, you know, when I say no, instead of building housing, because remember one thing, that those people who were in town, some of them are even qualified already to have housing, subsidies from their work. Will they able to hire anybody, any contract?
Yeah.
By their own to do that. But you find it, their monies are being allocated to NHE. For the government funding, and the people, they get to this housing and they be able to be through the bank. Yeah. Okay, now I'm wondering, like, now, if you're having a certain people who are crying for the water, and let them say majority. Yeah, I feel like, you know, really, it's not going to work. That's why we are like this for the past 35 years.
Yeah.
If it's like that.
Yeah. So it has flawed in a way. The whole thing is that the priorities, sometimes the central priority might not be. It's actually important, an important priority. One cannot deny that. Have building.
No, we do. I do understand that, you know, like housing is, everybody needs housing.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you have people are doing unsafe water,
yeah,
where they are getting hepatitis E, they're getting cholera. And you know, so many things. Which one is the best to come first to save that person who's dying for cholera because he's drinking unsafe water or hepatitis E? Because now this is going to cost you more when it comes to health. You are going to spend a lot of money to procure the medicine to those people.
I think we haven't gone. There has been a whole idea of decentralization of power and resources, but
yeah.
I think power is it's very sweet, and we can see that the central government,
the central government
doesn't want to give up power. It doesn't really want to give up power. You know
that You bring to the way a layman can understand like me.
Yeah.
That is the problem I think we are seeing it now.
Yeah. So...
because this power is supposed to be channeled around.
Yeah. Because much of what could be done by the ministry, it should be actually centralized. It should be in the region. The region exactly. should be capacitated to be able, you know, to come up with their budget and then, you know, funded and then, you know, funded by the central government based on their budget. Yeah.
Very much.
Not the other way around. Not the, actually the central government is now thinking, okay, mm-hmm. it's a project.
I'm the one who, I'm the one going to fund it.
You know.
And this man is going, that's why even the loophole of corruption, it can channel it. Because why I'm saying so, I look at something was going to be established somewhere in Havana here about agriculture.
Yeah.
It demands. Because it was a contract between the contract and the ministry itself. It was no council or whatever involved.
Yeah.
It demands nobody up to now. Those people are nowhere to be traced. They leave something which was supposed to be built. Things are just hanging out there.
And that's the biggest, that's another point where you're talking the regional oversight on the projects that are actually taking place in the regions. Without an involvement of some projects are completely between the ministry and the contractor. So the region have no oversight power on the project. And the project is for the region. You understand?
Yeah.
And
No. There's something wrong. Really? No.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be that way. That's why loophole of this Namibian corruption. Why we cannot even create any policy to direct that the power is supposed to be lying on the custodian of local authority?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is a law where the corruption are getting away with it. Because there's no... Just imagine, you are there as a Mike in Mundangwa. You are, let me say, the governor. I'm a minister here in Windhoek. I'm conducting between me and the contractor. It's the only one who knows what is going on.
Yeah.
Now, are you going, as a governor, going to interfere?
Yeah. Now, the other
thing... You don't have any power.
Yeah. The other things that we have heard, I mean, we all have heard report, the auditor's report over the months and how much money that has been actually mismanaged. And up to now, some are in millions, some amount of money in millions, but without supporting document and all those kind of things. So, but up to now, you haven't had somebody being fired or seriously take, well, you know, we follow up those people. Where is this money? And this money who are responsible? And there was a report. Kancheke has done his part, but there's nothing you hear how these people are being going to dealt with.
It's what I'm saying. There's no policy which you're really directing. Even like that's what I'm saying. There's a between the ministry itself and the regional council, local authority. There's a disconnection. And this is need to be dealt with because people are getting away with what? Corruption.
Yeah.
Because look here, that's imagine like now. I don't know how they come up with, because remember one thing that the, in the house base, in Elongo, there was a, especially in the house base, there was Taraloka.
Mm.
And they move it now to somewhere, J7, where they are allocating housing.
Yeah.
And now, I'll bring you to Windhoek. There's a mess housing standing there. A person built mess housing without even electricity and plumbing work being done. But the house are standing. Just imagine, nothing happened to that contract.
Yeah.
Up to now, that guy is still getting capital project. That's what I'm saying, the corruption. And I think the system is very, very, very raw. Really. You know those cockroaches which I'm always talking about, that you cannot kill them with the doom anymore.
Mm.
I don't know what you have to bring along, so you can deal with them. But the problem is that the policy, they are not really clear.
Yeah,
and this is a hard time, I think, when we have a competent ministry to look in those things.
Yeah.
Because you cannot tell me you have a mess housing here up to now that nobody lives in. But how long it has been built? How many people are crying for housing? When you go to local authority there, how many people are in the list?
Mm.
It's a problem. So that's what I'm telling you, Kucha. The local councillor, they don't have enough authority because it was between the contractor and the minister itself.
Yeah.
So where do you fit yourself as a local councillor? It's not going to work. No. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You can't just keep a power to one individual person to do whatever you want.
Mm.
This is supposed to be the power is supposed to be shared.
Yeah, there's also even there was this it's an article to where actually the Ministry of Finance could have given like power to make to do actually the when it comes to the pharmaceutical procurement.
Yeah,
it would be now in the it will be now left up to the ministry to the minister, you know, to do that, which is actually very dangerous.
it's very dangerous again in this situation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think somehow it will be fine as long as there will be transparency of like between the minister and the supplier and the people who are going the committee with the, what did they call themselves? That's why we are going around the region, even sometimes that they don't find anything, and then the ministry go themselves there, and then you find the ministers, the one who are getting all the detail.
Yeah.
Public committee, what something?
The public, the procurement board or something, you know?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But seriously, just imagine, they went out to even in Ngela Hospital, but they didn't find anything wrong. And the ministry, when they are going there, this machine are broken. What? The machine even for hospital, it's been borrowed by private. Eh? Private hospital.
Yeah.
And they didn't find anything. That's what I'm saying. We here, we need to change the system. People need to be fired. People who bend the system for long, they need to be replaced.
Yeah.
You can't keep the person there for 10 years, seriously. This person has become so competent and doesn't care anymore, whatever he does. You know, there's no action.
No, people need to be fired. He treat government equipment or even services like how he treat his own kambashu, you know, Sibin.
Exactly. I'm telling you, there's no record. He cannot even keep a record anymore, whatever. He give even everybody who gets come there, get a credit for, but it's not accountable.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the kambashu will be there. There's no more. Nothing anymore. Because who is going to ask everybody they're owing you?
Yeah.
And there's no record for that. No. It's a problem, man. This ID which we've been with them law for so long, it's a hard time also to call out. They must go and major in their business because they're already business people.
Yeah.
Businessmen and businesswomen.
All right.
Anyway, Mike, yeah, let me end up just so I can give other people a chance.
No, thank you for coming through, yeah?
But really, it hurt when we had a system like that.
Yeah.
Because we never, I fought everything. It was on the power of what? The governor. That's why we are complaining. I said, some governor are not working.
Yeah.
Now I see.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
All right, my brother.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
Sure.
A very good morning to you. And welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
I don't have a lot to add today, but I just want to add, you guys are speaking about the government, the common government worker.
Yeah.
Who needs to be made accountable and should be able to be fired. But you know, this thing did not start with them. To come to their defense somewhat, and I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm just saying to come to their defense a little bit. The problem actually started with the heads of states that we've had. When we wanted to have a head of state to take 3, 4, 5 terms, whatever it is.
Yeah.
When we had heads of state and we did not allow government to change hands and ideologies as many times as we've seen, as we have not seen, I suppose, that's where the problem started. You cannot blame, you know, this person. Yes, and I agree with everything you're saying.
Yeah.
But let's also go back and let's also look at this. I think the current administration right now, with our lady,
But anonymous, if you're saying that was, if it was not good then, you can't just say because it happened, we should be then continue that. We should just...
No, that's not what I'm saying.
We shouldn't do anything to this because it has happened before, even to, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with... I'm not saying we should turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, what we need to do is we need to remember, because this is the legacy of each one of those.
Mm.
We need to remember and sit down and document and make it known. This administration led by this person had this of these opportunities, these conditions. Here's what they did wrong.
Yeah.
That needs to be done as well. And this administration ran for this long. That means that having done this for this long, this is the impact it has had on Namibia today. Those people behaving and acting like that, it was a culture that was formed in government. Yeah. Every institution develops a culture, a cultural environment of the institution now. Every business, every wherever, even a Shabin.
Yeah.
There's a culture that is formed, and it is the leader who forms that culture. Because why? Whatever he's willing to tolerate or not tolerate. That's where it comes. Government vehicles that will go out for maybe a radiator. Yeah. Then they sit in the garage for 6 to 8 months, parts being stripped. I'm not making any allegations, I'm just saying. So the parts being stripped and then old parts being replaced. The thing went in for a radiator or a broken window. Now it's totally broken. Mm-hmm. It cannot be used anymore. Right? Because why? There are certain individuals who have a vested interest in that vehicle. They want to make sure that it goes to auction. Before it goes to auction, what do? They it's a whole syndicate, it's a whole business.
And this is
culture.
This is exactly what we're saying then, to say, look, you are accountable and you were not able to protect the government's property, you know, and you should be gone.
Who is the one who did not hold those people accountable?
No.
Who is the one that's supposed to oversee and say, is this being done? Is this happening? Who is that? Is it not the leader? Do you fault the person who did that first, or do you go to the leader first and say, you are the manager of this position, or you are the ED here, or you are the minister here. You have failed to do these things.
Mm-hmm. So what do you
think? For instance, governors.
What do you think, Anamis, is that? What is happening on the ground is just a reflection of leadership, isn't it?
Yeah. Finish.
Yeah.
There you have it. So that is a reflection of the past leaderships. And some leaderships are better than others.
Mm.
You know, I feel that right now with this new administration, things are looking a little bit better.
Mm.
I feel a change in the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And where has the issue of homosexuality gone to? You remember during the homosexuality was an issue. People were coming, we were fighting all that. Why has it suddenly disappeared? Because the person who pushed it disappeared. But she didn't disappear entirely. That's my problem. So there's still a blind spot there so that we don't hold people and their ideologies accountable. Instead, what we do is we allow certain things to bring in certain amounts of negativity, of stress, of incapability, of destruction. We allow it. These things are allowed. That's why those people behave that way. So let's not behave, let's not pretend as though those people are, you know, they're just lazy and they're doing it in a vacuum.
Yeah.
No, they are enabled. And with that, thank you very much, sir.
No, thank you for coming through, man.
Okay.
Great.
All right, so 0833-66091, if you want to, you know, add your voice on our first items that we brought for you this morning. So, yeah, 41 minutes past the hour of 9. So we still have a couple of minutes to go. That sometimes puts you in a very difficult situation whether you can start something new, you know, or continue with the old. So hoping that, all right. So let's get into, yeah, so you're most welcome. You can come anytime and have your say on things that we have talked about so far. All right, and a very good morning to you, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. It's Mike Oshoveli, and I'm glad you could join me and join us. Now, let's get into this. I want you to imagine this, okay? Imagine this for a moment. So you are a farmer. Let's say in the, Mandume. So let's say from your Angwena region, all right? You have poured your sweat and soul in your fields, okay? Your harvest is fantastic. Crate full of ripe, juicy tomatoes. But here's the problem. The local market is very small. The local market is small. So you can't sell them all fast enough. You know, you have enough to sell, but you can't sell them enough. You can't sell them all fast enough. Day by day, you watch your hard work, you know, your potential income literally rot away. That's what happened to many, you know, of those who produce. Now, this heartbreaking scenario is a reality. As I said, it's a reality for many Namibian farmers. But now, there is a new hope on the horizon. Now, the front page headline from The Villager reads, "Farmers welcome processing centers in all regions." You know, that's President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah has announced a plan to build these centers across all 14 regions. Now, this is a story by Lois Shimi in yesterday's edition of The Villager. You can look it up there as well. Go through that. Make sure that you subscribe to The Villager. And also make sure that you follow us, the Eagle FM and The Villager on our social platforms. So now, this is a story from yesterday's edition by Lois Shimi. Now, this sounds like a perfect solution. But is it a perfect solution? Is it? Now, well, this morning, we are unpacking this promise. Okay. We're looking at, is this the key to unlocking our agricultural potential? Or is it another grand vision that might wither, that might wither on the vine, as they say, you wither on the vine, you know? So now let's go into it. Okay. So let's get into it. Now let's start with the good news. Okay. Because there's a lot to be excited about. Okay. So the idea is simple, but powerful as well. Simple but powerful. Instead of letting those excess tomatoes, or I gave an example of excess tomatoes spoiled, a processing center could turn them into tomato paste, sauce, tomato sauce, and tomato chutney. You know, is there a chutney? It's a tomato chutney. Yeah, you can also turn them into tomato chutney. So now your spinach could be dried and packaged. So your mahangu could be milled and turned into pasta or biscuits. Like I have seen, you know, mahangu biscuits actually. So, in the trade fair. So it could be done. This is what we call, now this is what being said, value additions. That's what being shouted about. Value addition, value addition, value addition, you know. So it's about taking raw products and making it into something more, something that lasts longer and and sell for higher prices. Okay? So now, the farmers quoted in the article are clearly thrilled. They are really thrilled. One from Congo, talk about producing more than they can sell, actually. Another from Oshikoto described the long 163 kilometer journey he has to make just to get his rice processed. So for him, a local center isn't just a convenience, it is a lifeline. It saves time, it saves money, and as he points out, it could inspire more people to start actually farming. So, and think also about the ripple effect, okay? Now, so think about the ripple effect. So this center would create jobs, not just for the farmers, but for people running the machine, from the people who will be running the machine, processing centers, for packaging specialists, you know, for truck drivers, for marketers. So it is an entire, if you like, it's an entire ecosystem of economic activity. So right there in your rural communities. That's who's knocking.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bom dia, família.
Bom dia. Como está?
Oh, bom, obrigado. Como ali?
So,
I'm doing fine, my boss. How are you?
I'm all right.
Man, I just have two simple questions, man.
Yeah.
The farmers, we had like this, one of these farmers, they were in the radio yesterday.
Yeah.
So I was complaining about the system of selling their product.
Yeah.
So when they go to the market, the response is like, we already bought. Now I have a question there. They bought from who or from where? From Namibia or from South Africa?
From South Africa.
That's what I want to know.
From South Africa.
So if they are buying from South Africa.
Yeah.
So then something need to be done to protect these guys, to have also a system which will support them.
Exactly. So they need some rules.
Because if you say we are linked to South Africa in terms of economic, we should link in South Africa in everything.
Just hold on. You are touching on the point that's very important. Even when we say that there will be now, let's say for example, processing factories in the regions, that must go. That also should go hand in hand with policies. So because you may produce, your prices might be a little bit more, but people will still, as a shopper, you're still actually going to buy cheaper stuff that are coming from South Africa or from somewhere else.
Yes, of course.
And definitely the purpose of what that processing factory would serve, it's null and void. You understand?
Yes. Because even
that's exactly the point. Yeah.
Yeah, even if so, because when we close our borders, I think this was 2 months or 1 month ago.
Yeah.
So the reason on that is to create a system which will support our system as well.
Exactly.
But the farm in South Africa, they were complaining to say no, you cannot close our border, and because the farmers are competing, because they know they are not making money anymore.
Mm.
So now we want also to have the same system. So a system which will support not one farmer. Create a system which maybe 150 farmers. They just produce for shop and pick and pay.
Yeah. Well, that's what you are guys complaining when actually when Trump, you know, increases the tariff. So that's why you are complaining. You know, this is exactly what he's trying to do, you know, to focus on the business in the country.
You know, just look there. If we create our own system, which will support the farmers, so the farmers have more system which is also encourage them for them to do more in the farming.
Exactly.
It's a good thing because I know if I created my farm, the system already will already cater for me or will already come in and give me ideas. Say this you do that, you know.
Now, if you have been in the north, maybe on other parts of the countries as well, when you see, you know, those people and vendors on the street who are selling tomatoes, vegetables, and things like that. So if they don't have storage where they can actually, you know, store their produce, in a week, they will be spoiled.
Yes.
You understand? There's so much that should be involved rather than just that there's a processing factory in the village.
Yes.
I mean in the region, you understand?
Yes.
And it's basically some of the issue are the one that you're highlighting right now.
Yes, but not only for example, you see I produce tomatoes, so in this facility of a storage facility which we have, so which there will be a lot of things which are going to come out through these tomato souls, with a lot of chains, a lot of things coming through that. Not only tomato we are selling in the street.
Yeah, no, there will be a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, so the system which will really encourage our farmers to do a good thing, and the end of the year, you know, you look around, so okay, let us promote or celebrate our farmers. Should be something like Christmas, you know? Yes, to support the farmers. Okay, this day is the farmers' day, so we want to encourage them and give them idea, give them tip, give them where to go. So just for them to have, okay, if I'm not educated, let me say, maybe I'm educated, but I'm a farmer. I can live through my farm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the other issue, my brother, I wanted to ask about this argument about Sangwasa and Honorable Venani. I wanted to know about this money they are talking about from municipalities. So this amount is always in municipality, and municipality never even try to do something with this money. Or what was the problem there?
I'm not following. Which the money that is unspent by the local authorities?
Yes, because the Honorable Sangwasa was saying, okay, if the municipality in Windhoek then utilize or use this money, yeah, I'll move this money to the local authority.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just like something. What is this a joke? Because people are still in the poverty. House is so expensive, and we're still having people are living in the ghetto today.
But the monies are given in a certain period of time. So if you don't use them, you know, you can't just accumulate saving while people are dying in poverty. That's actually what the minister is saying. So
yes,
you cannot just accumulate saving while people are dying in poverty. And this money was given to do something. And if you haven't done that, I can take that and redirect to something, you know?
Yes, but it's the only, I agree with him. And that's a good point. He was raising in the parliament. So no.
Yeah.
You guys are not using these things. Why they used to have the money then? Then people are still already in the same year in, year out, the same shape in the zings and the one toilet, 20 houses using one toilet. What's that? And you have the money going back to the treasury?
Yeah.
No, it's not. Something needs to be done. Or either maybe the system was too tight, maybe, I don't know, to sort to say. Maybe the leadership was not transparent.
Yeah.
So how can you have the money, billions are creeping in the municipality while people are still every day on the strike, they demanding a better living condition, but you have the money sitting in you? Oh, fire them all.
Exactly. All right.
Thank you, my brother.
Well, thanks for coming through. All right.
All right, our time is about 55 minutes past the hour of 9. And you still have about 5 minutes to go. You're most welcome to come through.
Unpacking the day, good morning.
Oh, nice.
There's a bad noise, Uncle Bona, there's a bad noise.
You actually included now the mention about the ecosystem of economy. Excuse me?
I mentioned what?
So you mentioned that this is actually a network, it's an ecosystem.
Yeah, the center.
You just reminded me about the logistics and transportation.
Yeah, exactly.
Where we have got a serious priority, I mean a serious need. Yeah. And unless we ourselves, because even when you just this simple parcel and things like that, they have to be transported by taxi driver.
Yeah.
Mm. And you can imagine where the people have to create some kind of warehouse and storage, even small storage.
Yeah.
And you have to transport your things to Shoprite or wherever. Because those ones, it's already clear that they only source their product within their community, within their reach. They cannot go and get from South Africa when people are producing here.
Yeah.
So, and you are made, I know this is a free market economy, but from just your not conscious.
And but the challenge, Uncle Bonner, the challenge is also the shoppers, ourselves. Are we consciously as Namibian choosing to buy locals? Or we instead of, if our local, let's say for example, our local producer is about a $2 expensive than South African one, we go to the South African one. Then in this way, we're denying our own...
Well, it's another education. It's education and awareness and to be more patriotic.
Hmm?
Those are some of the areas where we need to address, but at least as long as you can sustain the supply. If you say you are going to supply me with onions, make sure that the onions don't just get out of the market and gives me my customers, clients a problem.
That should be also the, of course.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mike.
All right, man.
Good.
All right. Yes, as we said, the ripple effect, this sentence would create jobs, I think, not just for farmers, as I said earlier, but for people running them. You have people who will be running the machine, you know, you have some people who will be doing packaging, you know, you have truck driver, taxi drivers, you have marketers, you have, you know, as I said, it's an entire ecosystem of economic activities. So right there, it could be right there in our rural communities. Let's have the last one.
Very good morning to you.
Mike, you bring that second topic so late. Anyway, I'll just say something really more than you.
I will continue this tomorrow because there are a couple of things that I want to bring.
It will be fine. Okay, I'll comment tomorrow.
Yeah, no, we will talk about this tomorrow because there are a few things that I still want to bring out.
Yeah, there are so many things which you need to talk about, especially when it comes to government improvement.
All right.
When school and so on, people can supply this. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Yes. There are a few things that I would like us to look at this as well. On a critical point, because those are relevant things, you know. As much as we, you know, as I said, we're looking at this is our good ideas. This is very, you know, it's encouraged things that we want and all that. But let's also be realistic in terms of issues that we need to consider before this become a reality. And so that's, I will promise, I'm going to come back to this. We're going to talk to this. Well, and others that's going to come. All right, we're going to do that. So probably start with this. All right. So, and that's actually bring us to the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. Tomorrow is Friday. Let's do this again. Let's do this again tomorrow at the same time on the same station here on Eagle FM. So I'm going to leave you in the hands of Mr. Franz. And, I wish you a very good listening for the rest of the programs that come your way throughout the day today. And I will talk to you again. I'll see you tomorrow. at the same time. For me, Michael Chiavelli, goodbye for now.